Welcome to Motivated to Lead Podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMO Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. If you're new to our podcast, welcome. I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. We've had some great leaders on in the last couple of years, and I know it would be helpful for you to hear their stories and things that they've learned in their career. This week, we're happy to have join us Scott Laster. Scott is an award-winning entrepreneur with over 20-plus years of global medical device and digital health leadership experience. He is the founder and chief executive officer of MyCarePath, and he has led the company through growth, and he has got some great things he's going to share around leadership and things that he's learned that will be helpful in your career. Looking forward to today's conversation with Scott. Well, I guess first off, can you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your career history?
Oh, definitely. I've had a great experience. It's all been in the healthcare industry, and I kind of break it up into three chapters. The first chapter specifically in my world was tied to a multi-billion multinational med tech company and kind of worked the career ladder there, exiting over the course of about 14 years, running a global business unit that was worth about $375 million of business and was able to do several different acquisitions during that time frame. And the second chapter of my career was more taking a leap away from the corporate climb and getting a dip of a toe into entrepreneurism with an independent business that was more of medical device distribution. So it was a nice little stepwise function away from some of the rigor and structure and a little bit more into the fast-paced world. And then this most recent, that was about a three-year period. The most recent step has really been into that startup entrepreneur space as a founder and now ultimately a chief executive officer of a company called MyCarePath, where I've been for the last 5-6 years.
Give us a little bit about the company and just kind of what you do and what your market is.
So obviously I'm passionate about this. Rein me in if I take too long, but the business as a whole is in essence the easy button for the shift into the very much needed virtual care or tech-enabled aspects of ongoing care management of patients. So think about a patient when they leave the office of the physician or leave the hospital after some sort of inpatient setting. How do you navigate that patient? How do you coordinate that patient? How do you empower that patient and make them feel connected? And then there are all sorts of ways pre-COVID, but then COVID certainly inflected this post-COVID to be able to generate either revenue as a fee-for-service practice or save money if you're in a risk-based structure based on that appropriate care coordination. So we've put together the processes, the tech stack, and the people to be able to make that an easy transition, make what seems to be impossible, because it is complex, possible to do.
Okay, very cool. So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give that 22-year-old Scott if you're given the opportunity today?
This is a fascinating question. I think for this question, I break it into two parts. One part maybe would be, what would I try to tell my 22-year-old self to keep doing and reinforce? And then maybe some other elements of words of wisdom of things that maybe didn't pan out appropriately. So the first bit, what would I tell myself to keep doing? I'll contextualize it, you know, product management at a med tech, med device company that's global in nature, zealous, trying to prove myself along the way, et cetera. So I would say the things that I'd like to reinforce would be stay curious and always ask questions about everything, even the employees ultimately that worked under me that I got to be blessed to collaborate with. Some of the best ones were the ones that just had that curiosity. And it might be annoying at times as a manager because you get 1,000 questions from people, but at the same time, they're really looking for the pain points and trying to find ways to solve it. And not just within what's controllable, but also within where you might have influence and then maybe to the next tier of no influence. Trying to really divide that across those three layers and then see where you might, and then from that kind of divide and build where you could actually make a maximal impact. So I think the curiosities are definitely a piece there. And then the drive, keep the drive, even though it is a marathon. You know, if you run a marathon faster than someone else runs a marathon, you win. So finding the balance maybe, but definitely keeping a nice cadence and a pace about what it is that you're doing and trying to keep it at a fast pace would be good. The things of lessons learned, I think, on the side, going back to myself at that age, would be this may even be controversial, but do be selfish. I think, I know, Mark, you're from the Midwest. I'm from the South. I think we share similarities in the sense of just culturally, we don't necessarily, it doesn't come naturally to fight for yourself in those ways. So I think positioning yourself, whether it's corporately inside or whether it's trying to position yourself in a startup company to have that opportunity, do get a little bit greedy, get a little bit selfish and say, I do deserve this, and try to put those things forward. But definitely make sure you've got the evidence to back it up and support that and go aggressively after success for you in the ways professionally that you could be. Because if you're not, one of the presidents of the company I worked with made a great statement to me just offhand. He said, Scott, if you don't promote yourself, who will? And it's a fair point. So making sure that you go aggressively after what you want to go after.
So what do you wish you would have known sooner as far as around leadership before you got into that first people leadership position? Anything that you look back on, you say, man, I wish I would have known that earlier. Anything that you could give as far as to our audience that is typically first-time leader, first-time CEO?
Yeah. I'll give a macro example, and then maybe again break it into two different buckets after that. The macro one is, it's simple, stupid, but just make sure people have an understanding of what your vision is and it's clear, and then it's digestible in a way that becomes actionable and measurable. I struggled a long time in the early days of management, going from a personal performer that had that curiosity that just kind of saw the gaps and went and filled them in, into how do you go try to get someone else to do that, you know, when they're working with you or in your group. And that was a big learning curve. That was a lot of pain trying to figure that out. So you boil it down to its essence and just make sure that you're being clear, saying these are the things that I need from you, but leaving the space so that they can go explore and answer and do it their way, the way that they need to have it done. And that's kind of the macro one. The maybe micro ones in two different buckets are when you absorb a group. So there were rifts and delayering and all the different structural elements that put me in my first position of management in the beginning. And I had people that were senior to me in age of years in the business, senior to me in age of years in life, and then had the opportunity to hire some people. And I think when you absorb a group versus when you are going to find someone that you're hiring, those are two different skill sets as well. And from the group absorption standpoint, another one of my mentors over the years just kind of personally said, I think it was some famous general, he said, when given control, take command. And so I think there's no, again, Southern proclivities, Midwestern proclivities might be to try to step in, not step on toes. And you can do it. You know, there's what you do and how you do it. So I think what you're doing is you've been given control, take command, but how you can do it can be appropriate from a soft skills standpoint. But just make sure that you're doing that. And at least it's clear, like, I've been given this role. These are the things that I'm doing. This is what we need to execute on. Here we go. And be very clear about that up front. And then start to work through each person's role and their personalities and how you engage with them and listen from that end. When you're going to hire someone, those are the typical playing books that I won't unpack of everybody about how do you find the right hire and those types of things.
So as a CEO, and you've been in that role for several years now, you're a founder, yeah, and CEO. Talk about just setting the culture as you're growing, as you add people to your team, that can impact the culture that you've set out for. But how do you intentionally, as far as keep that culture healthy and as an organization?
This one's particularly personal. I feel we addressed it because we had the opportunity in a very individualistic way to make everyone feel like they were a part of it, or most of the people now in our business were a part of it. We had three founders when we actually hired our first bolus of true employees as the company. At the employee onboarding, we actually held an exercise, a workshop, to let everyone say, what do we want the culture of this company to be? Because we ended up taking a particular path and hiring folks that we had worked with in the past. And so we knew their spirit, we knew their work ethic, et cetera. and we wanted their input on what the culture of a successful business would be, which I think speaks to the first part of our culture is we listened. We want to listen, keeping an open mind about what other experts feel that you trust, which are a part of your management team, that believe in the vision that you're doing, because everybody's taking a risk in coming into a company at that phase of the business and even coming into a company at this phase of the business. So they're doing it for more than just the paycheck and the role. They're doing it for a broader vision. So we'd be foolish not to listen to why they made that jump and why they want to be a part of this company, what they're looking for to get out of that company. So that was the wellspring of it. And the second part of your question was, how do you keep it going? So ours ended up being resourceful, accountable, and tenacious, and it made a cheeky acronym of RAT. So we built in the RAT awards and made it a part of our ongoing internal attaboy structure or attagirl structure and inside the business. And we have awards that are, in essence, kind of self-voted awards within the business that happen on a quarterly basis now to make sure it's front of mind and celebrate the times that people have done those different types of things. And we're certainly of the size of a business now where that still is impactful versus, you know, a multi-billion, multinational, thousands, tens of thousands of employees starts to get diluted. So we've tried to play to the strengths of our size and use some of the initiatives that we could to keep it front of mind.
So as you're hiring new people to bring into your team, you talked about, you know, people that have a work ethic that are, you know, wanting to help the company get to the next level. What are some things that you look for, qualities that that are important as far as to kind of vet out as you look at putting people in the team?
This one's fascinating because I think it's always evolving, or maybe just it's like wisdom, you know, over time you learn more things about what you thought, et cetera. But this chapter in life, I think the first thing I try to look for is adaptability or flexibility, especially for younger companies. You might have an ideation, and that cuts across everything. You might have an ideation of, hey, this is the role for you. That role might evolve. That role may change. That role might disappear, and you might need them to do something totally different. So adaptability is a really key feature of what we want. Second part, or what I would look for in general, the second part is the one that I kind of alluded to, which is that curiosity nature. And it's the only trait that I've found that is the closest to taking initiative, because you can't train taking initiative, or I've not found a way yet. That seems like it's DNA, it's not training. And curiosity is the closest character trait that we've seen that leads to that element where, again, they want to know a little bit more about this or that and then go, oh, well, that's a problem. I want to go fix it then. It's that next step is the initiative step of trying to close that gap that's hard to see if they could get it. But typically, the people that are curious tend to be the people on that end. And then everyone probably has this as a fundamental and they might look at it differently, but we just say good human beings. So we try to surround ourselves because people buy from people, people invest in people, and people build processes with people. And so if you can't work with other people, then it's a challenge. And so having people, we did an exercise early days. It was somebody that's been a host on your series, Scott Flora, a great mentor of mine. He introduced us to someone that took us through a cycle. And though we're a tech-enabled services business, he put us into frameworks. And long story short, we basically were more customer service than anything else. And so that still sticks with me because it was kind of an unexpected outcome. Mm-hmm. And that made it really important that we had good people that cared about our vision of the company and cared about our customers and cared about our customers' beneficiaries, the patients, in an important way, because then how they do what they do will be reflected in that and make people feel warm and make them feel like we care. And that can solve a lot of gaps. That can solve for breaks in the tech when you're trying to fix things or improve it. That can solve for process gaps. That can solve for a lot of things. And it can accelerate things, accelerate sales because there's trust. So that's the third piece, was trying to find people that are compassionate and real and good humans.
One of the struggles I think most new CEOs have is just kind of figuring out the relationship with the board and how to work effectively. Any tips on that and what you've learned as far as in working with the board?
Yeah, I split those into two groups too. So you've got your formal company board and then you've got an advisory board that you would have an option to potentially put together. And that would be the first recommendation, is make sure you do have both. You can run the risk of too many opinions and then it drowns you in indecision. But I do think you can complement your formal board with other advisors in that way. And then the first word of advice, just, you know, bloodying my forehead, as to your point, a first time CEO and then founder of this business, is be transparent and escalate things early if there are challenges. There's the way that I grew up with leadership style and management and everything through the corporate ranks, there's a large element of CYA. And so you want to cover things up until you might be able to fix it, or how do I reposition this so it doesn't seem like it's bad? But that's not necessarily the best thing for yourself, for the company, or for the investors in the end, in this world. You need to make sure that you're transparent. And obviously, you need to have game plans and thoughts in place and wrap that around it. But escalate those things. Because without that, they can't help. And that's their goal, ultimately, is trying to preserve the value of everyone and help in those ways. Second thought is make sure you've got an appropriately diverse group of people. And by diversity in that instance, I just mean function. So find the right people across whatever other level of diversity you need to. But some key anchors that at least, and you got to inwardly look at yourself first and say, these are the things that, and be honest, these are the things that I think are strengths of myself, given my background and experience. And I need to augment those. And that may change over time. So maybe that becomes, let's find a new board member or a new advisory board member again, where that might kind of modulate, because you thought you needed these people, but you actually need a couple of other opinions and it's onerous to add them to the formal board, et cetera. So the anchors to me are corporate counsel is really, really important, even at a strategic level as a board member, because they've got a lot of experience with transactional law, exits, joint venture partnerships, and all these types of things, of ways to try to manage it, which is really important and might, again, augment people's experience levels as CEOs or chairmen. The second component would be finance, but maybe with a little bit of a lean of banking. And I'm talking through maybe my own personal experience, so you're getting that piece, but because they can help with other modalities of funding, as well as, again, that's going to be a very important part of exit for the company on that end. And then lastly, all the things that you would probably intuit, the commercial side is important. Early days of companies, even to mid caps to beyond, what do you look at first? It's growth. So you've got to make sure that you're growing the business appropriately and effectively, and you got the tools and people in place to do it.
That's good. So books that you recommend to leaders, any that you put on their list to read?
I have a bit of a social sciences background with a psychology background, and so I do probably lean towards those types of things. And I think both of these authors that I just genuinely like are probably industrial organizational psychologists, but Simon Sinek, that's well known, and Adam Grant, that also I believe is well known, generally anything by them, but specifically books. Adam Grant was the one that I was reading when I was in that transition phase away from corporate into this kind of dipping the toe in the water with distribution and having some level of independence. And the book was Originals, and he kind of characterized these people that made an impact, and not just in the business world, but also in social impact and in all these other spaces. And he tried to find the common thread between all of them. And that was particularly helpful for me, because I saw some traits of myself in them that historically would be viewed as negative, but the way that he painted them was really helpful for me in building self-confidence. Things like the traditional typecast of a startup company founder or someone that does one of these things is they throw caution to the wind and take all risks. Where he frames it as he unpacks and actually shows examples of people like Bill Gates and others where it's actually those who mitigate risks the best are the ones that actually had the most success. They certainly got glamorized for what seemed to be throwing caution to the wind. But if you look in the background, they actually did the right things to mitigate risks so that they could take a leap of faith, but still have a redundancy backup plan. People with those skill sets tend to be good conservers of cash and in different things along the way from a business standpoint. So that one was a fascinating one to me. And that's just one use case example of probably a dozen that came out of that book. And then Simon Sinek has a lot of servant leader mentality, and then making sure that people really find the value of what it is that you're doing, kind of leading with purpose, not just leading authoritarian style. And I take a lot of inspiration from that, because more and more these days, I think it's a generational thing that we're having to come into as you get, you know, every generation has their own distinctions. Sure. And I think the generations, at least beneath me, really like purpose and like wanting to be a part of a more altruistic component. And people in general, no matter what generation they're from, if you feel like you're tied to something that's bigger than just your role, whatever is happening, those things matter. And then he also, so that's one thing, leading with purpose, but also leading by example, which is easier said than done many instances, but it's like Leaders Eat Last, I think was that book, kind of focusing on how do you actually support your people and listen and foster those things that we already talked about on that end. So those are the two big authors with maybe a couple of examples of some books that have been impactful to me.
Any favorite quotes that you like to refer to?
I'm gonna butcher this one again with who the exact person was, but ultimately it was a person that was in a concentration camp and they had struggled and made their way through and ultimately survived. And next to my office at work, up in the office, and I look at and reflect back on a lot. And it's basically the last of the human traits that we can control is our attitude. So we're put oftentimes as people, I've seen in some of your other podcasts, people that have, they've been counselors and therapists and they're working in the nonprofit industry and they've seen some highs and lows personally, as well as other elements that were very touching. And that resonated a lot with me because in the startup world, all in one day, you can have the best day and the worst day, or the worst day and the best day, depending on how it comes out. So being able to modulate that with an attitude and taking a step back and trying to separate that and saying, if the last controllable measure is our attitude towards things, how do I maintain a positive attitude? How do I maintain this leadership mentality so that people are willing to go through the tough times to get to the successes? The part I struggle with is how do you celebrate the successes to a meaningful way? Because I'm always on to the next thing. I'm like, all right, yeah, we had success. We should have had success. So actually pausing and trying to say, great job, everybody. Like, we actually just did this chapter, which was a big chapter. So that quote helps me stay focused on that.
So outside of work, which I'm sure occupies a lot of your time, what do you do to recharge?
This, to your point, there's not a lot of those minutes. So those minutes are important. I'll butcher this one too. My wife gave me an analogy of life and just said, there's, you know, three burners on an oven and you only have enough gas to power, you know, two and a half, and you've got hobbies, you've got work, and you've got your family. So which one of those things are you going to modulate up? Which one of those are going to modulate down? And even keeping that open communication with your family about where you are, because it might come in chapters like, hey, I'm in this phase right now. Let's, you know, support me in these ways, please, if you can, et cetera, to keep your, if you watch Seinfeld, personal George and professional George, both living together instead of colliding and blowing up. But so in those ways, hobbies really get dialed back a lot. And so one of the things that I've tried to do, the point of your question, is when my son, we have one child, he's now 12, but when he was a baby, I used to try to jog with him on the weekends and keep him in the stroller. And that's something that we've tried to kind of keep as a tradition going on. So the jog, because I'm mostly out of shape, shuts off the world and actually makes my brain calm, because all the thoughts that are always going on in the back of your mind, it actually forces a bit of a pause on that end. And then having personal interaction also helps force that. So it kind of keeps your mind away from it. It helps hopefully foster a good father-son relationship, which is important to me in that family burner. But then it also gives me a chance to come back to a lot of the things that were just thoughts in the background, anxieties, opportunities, with a fresh perspective. Because sometimes you get in the forest and you can't see the trees from the right perspective. And that's a forced kind of ripped element that then when you come back and revisit things, you might see the same diamond from a different perspective and see how it has a different opportunity. And so that's been one that I've tried to keep up over the years.
Yeah. Well, I think the analogy of the burners, that there are times where you have to turn one up a little higher and there's times you need to how to balance all that out. And that's some great thoughts. So parting thoughts for new or new CEO, new up-and-coming leader that you give them?
Maybe another quote. The Winston Churchill, never give up, never give up, never give up, would probably be the first word of advice. If you believe in what you're doing, you better be doing something that you love and you believe in, because the road is not always straight and broad. It might be curvy and narrowed and bumpy along the way, but always have the motivation to do it. There's times that myself and co-founder that's here, we're based in Memphis, Tennessee, that's in Memphis with me, we look at each other and go, what are we going to do? And yet we've found a way to navigate through those times. So I think that's a key part of it. And again, us having the vision and purpose beyond what it is that are titles or pay or roles is really important to keep. And do it. If you're in the role now, do it. And if you're thinking about the role, think through, again, the risk mitigation components and what makes sense, and make sure you're doing something you love, and then do it.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate your thoughts, and I know it's going to be helpful for those listening. How would somebody learn more about your company and kind of your work?
Oh, thanks, Mark. MyCarePath.com is our website. It's spelled funny, MICAREPATH.com. That has all the specifics there. And if there's any interest in leveraging the product or in future rounds of investment, we're always doing that until we get to that inevitable point of cash flow break even. And I'm Scott Laster. You can get direct connection to me.
Great. Well, looking forward to seeing your company as it continues to grow, and wish you success in all you're doing.
Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.